Today on The King is Coming.
Just because the end may seem to be near doesn't mean it's here, that it's going to happen by tomorrow. But the clock is ticking. Time is moving on. The rapture could technically occur at any moment, at any time. There's nothing prophetically that has to be fulfilled before the archangel could shout and the trumpet could sound and we're out of here to the glory of God. But in the meantime, we're still here. We have a responsibility to live for Christ, to endure persecution, to endure rebuke, to endure the rejection of a godless society if necessary, and to stand as a light, a beacon of hope in these very difficult times. Hello, I'm Ed Heinzen, your teacher on The King is Coming. You and I are living in one of the most tumultuous times in history. Many people are asking me, Ed, are we literally moving toward the last days? Are these the final signs that we're seeing of a gathering storm on the human horizon, a time of unparalleled international crisis, domestic turmoil, pandemics, fires. It just seems like everybody and everything is out of control. What in the world is happening? Where is it going? And what is the final end game? We're going to take a look today at the Bible and see what God has to say about the final signs and the gathering storm of the last days. I want you to fasten your seatbelt. Get your Bible ready as we plunge into the Word of God and let God speak to our hearts, our minds, our lives, and challenge us with the question, are we ready for what's coming in the future?
In one of our newest series, Blessed Hope, Dr. Heinzen reveals the exciting promises we have in our future as believers. The rapture, the believer's rewards, the triumphal return with Christ, the millennial reign. Get your copy of this four-part series on CD or DVD for a donation of only $45. Call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com. Call today and also receive a copy of the booklet, The Blessed Hope, absolutely free with your donation. America today is in a state of spiritual emergency. In his challenging and insightful four-part series, America in Crisis, Dr. Ed Heinzen examines the current political, social, moral, and spiritual unrest in America. He exposes the causes of the current crisis and issues a clarion call for repentance and revival as America's only hope for the future. Don't miss this powerful series. To order your copy today, call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com.
When Jesus was here on earth, he challenged the scribes and the Pharisees of his day that they had missed the signs of the times of the first coming of Christ. In Matthew 16, he said, "You can tell the weather from the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." In other words, you ought to know the prophecies of my first coming, the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah, and you of all people should have understood that, and you missed it. Then at the end of his earthly ministry, in Luke chapter 21, he challenges his followers to be prepared for the signs of his second coming. If you have your Bible available to you, take it and turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 21 and notice beginning at verse 25. Jesus, looking down through the tunnel of time, down through the halls of history, into the corridor of eternity, Jesus said, "And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." In other words, the world is out of control, like a great emotional tsunami in the last days. People are overwhelmed by the problems that the world is facing, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things that are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Then notice verse 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, and you might circle the word begin, then look up. You might underline the words look up. Lift up your heads, your redemption draws nigh or near. Jesus was saying when certain signs begin to appear on the horizon of human history, start looking up. Be watching for me to come. Now, as believers, we're watching for the Lord to come, the archangel to shout, the trumpet to sound, and we're caught up in the rapture to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds. The signs have to do with his return when he comes to the earth to judge the nations and reign and rule with a rod of iron on planet earth. When we look at the totality of Scripture and we ask ourselves, what are the signs of his coming? There are altogether about 25 of them, but I'm going to limit us today to just five. Five things that I would suggest are like flashing red lights to get our attention. Slow down, wake up, look ahead. Notice I'm setting the stage for the coming of Christ. You say, Ed, if I were to look for five things that indicate that we're moving closer to the time of the end, what do you think they are? Number one, I would suggest the rebirth of the nation of Israel. The very fact that Israel is back in the promised land in the last days ought to get our attention, because every Bible prophecy about the end times assumes Israel will be back in the land in the last days. Well, for nearly 1900 years, Israel did not exist on a map. Destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD and again in 130 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed, the temple was destroyed, the Jews were expelled, etc., and Israel was no longer a nation for centuries. The Roman Emperor Hadrian changed the name of the country to Palestine, which is the Latin form of Philistines, the very enemies of Israel. In other words, he gave it the most derogatory name he could think of in order to remove any memory of the fact that the Jews had ever been there. And yet Bible prophecies about the last days talk about Israel in conflict and in the land in the last days. One of the most important of those prophecies is found in the last chapter of the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah 66, verse 8, he makes this unusual prediction. He says in verse 8, "Who has heard of such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? But shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." And then he goes on to say in verse 10, "Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad with you, all you that love her. Rejoice for joy, all you that mourn for her." In this passage, the prophet Isaiah again looks down through the tunnel of time into the distant future. In Isaiah's day, Israel was still standing. Jerusalem was still standing. The first temple was still standing. But the Babylonians would come within 100 years and destroy the nation, destroy the city and the temple. They would return, they would rebuild, but ultimately be destroyed again by the Romans. And yet Isaiah predicts, in one day, the nation will be reborn as a nation in the future. And in one day, in May of 1948, Israel declared her independence after 19 centuries of not existing. In that one day, David Ben-Gurion and the leaders of Israel dared to declare, "We will again be an independent nation." Now, it was not without difficulty and problems. They were attacked on every side by all of their neighbors back in 1948. They've had to fight a whole series of wars and conflicts in 1956, 1967, 1973, in the 90s, etc. Even until this day in the 21st century, Israel's existence is constantly being threatened, and yet there she is. Somebody once said, "How do you know the Bible's really true?" And the answer was, the Jew. God said they would always exist, that they would come back to the land, that they would have a nation again in the last days, and they do. God has kept his word and fulfilled that promise. The nation of Israel has been born in one day's time against all human odds because God said she would. Israel is there in the last days for over 70 years now. That's one of those flashing red lights that ought to get our attention. God is setting the table for the end times. And then number two, I would suggest rumors of war in the Middle East. The prophet Zechariah also looked down into the future, into this distant time. And Zechariah said this, that there would be a conflict in the last days in which the nations would surround Jerusalem. He said, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling for all people round about her, and they shall be in siege both against Judah and Jerusalem, and in that day," which always means that future day, "I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All who burden themselves with it shall be cut to pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." In other words, he was foreseeing a time in the future when the nations surrounding Israel would be gathered together against her. And we've seen that happen time and time again. Now, there are moments of reprieve, moments of peace, but the Middle East is in chaos, as you all know. It's in constant conflict and turmoil. In recent years, even internally among themselves. And it's given Israel a window of opportunity for peace and prosperity. But ultimately, the Bible predicts the great wars of the end times will all be in the Middle East. The Battle of Gog and Magog, the geography of that talks about the army crossing the Euphrates River. The Battle of Armageddon is set in Israel itself, in the Valley of Armageddon, in the Middle East. There may be wars and rumors of wars in the meantime, here and there on the planet, but the predicted ones, the big ones that the Bible talks about in the end times, are all in the Middle East. Well, if the Middle East were quiet and peaceful and Christian principles prevailed there and there was peace and prosperity, we might wonder, how will these prophecies ever be fulfilled? But that's not the case. The Middle East is in turmoil, and many of Israel's neighbors have declared their goal is the destruction of Israel, removing them from the land and wiping out the Jewish people. The stage is set. Is Israel back in the land? Yes. Are there rumors of war in the Middle East? Unfortunately, constantly. All of these things continue to go on in our own day and time. And then thirdly, I would suggest raging pandemics are also a sign of the last days. In Luke chapter 21, where we were a moment ago, back in verse 11, Jesus makes this statement about what's going to happen in the future. Luke 21, verse 11, "And there will be great earthquakes in many places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs there shall be from heaven." He's warning the people of the future generations that ultimately there will come all kinds of natural disasters and crises and conflicts and even pestilence. Now, we live in a time of modern science that is often able to deal with serious physical diseases and illnesses and suppress them, and we're grateful for that. But again and again and again, new things keep popping up, new viruses, new problems, new challenges that threaten the physicality of the human race, and we're wondering what in the world is going on. Now, when we're in a crisis, our tendency is, "Oh, God, help us." We start praying our hearts out, "Deliver us, come to America's rescue." And yet as America continues to walk away from God and turn her back on God, one might ask, why should he? Why should he bend down to deliver us when we don't normally pay any attention to him at all? When we've pushed his principles, his ideas out the window and said, no, we're going to live our own lives and do our own things. God has allowed these things to happen as a precursor, a warning, a harbinger, some people call it, an advance warning of things to come. It's like going to the movies and you're watching previews of the movies to come. Well, these are just previews of what can and will happen ultimately in the last days. If you think things are tumultuous right now, what do you think it'll be like 5 days after the rapture or 5 minutes after the rapture? When the Lord comes and the believers are called to heaven, millions of people disappear, the world is in chaos, the economy is in shambles, people are in confusion and fear and panic. This is only a little glimpse of what it will really be like in those days. So the warnings in Scripture are not meant to scare us. Prophecy is not written to scare us. It's written to prepare us. This doesn't have to happen to you. This can be God's warning to get your life ready to meet the Lord so that you're prepared when these things begin to come. You're ready to go when the Lord comes to call us home. Now, you and I are living in what some have called a kind of pandemic culture, and then eventually it'll be a post-pandemic culture, but you'll never forget it. There'll always be the fear of what's next, now what's going to happen, etc. How many things does God have to allow us to go through as a planet until he gets our attention to say, it's time to take me seriously and take my warnings seriously in your lives? Number four, I would suggest the rise of globalism ought to get our attention. You say, why is that so significant? Because the book of Revelation predicts a time when a world leader will gain control of the world government, ultimately of world religion, and of a global economy. We'll deal with that in some of our programs to come, but in Revelation 13, the beast who rises out of the sea, generally referred to as the Antichrist, comes with the power of Satan, emboldening him to literally try to rule the entire world under his authority in the last days, to deceive those that live on the earth, etc. And then the false prophet, the beast out of the earth, comes on the scene as well in that chapter in verse 12, and eventually caused all in verse 16, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no one might buy or sell unless he had the mark or the name or the number of his name, the number of the beast, 666. The mark of the beast was designed to control the world politically and economically, socially and religiously. Now, you and I don't have to worry about accidentally taking the mark of the beast. The book of Revelation makes it clear this is a deliberate, willful decision that unbelievers will make in order to survive, I'm convinced, after the time of the rapture. That the Antichrist is not going to be revealed until the restrainer is removed, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So I'm not looking for the Antichrist, I'm looking for Jesus Christ. I'm not even looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. But in the meantime, if I begin to see signs of anti-Christian attitudes permeating society, that ought to get my attention. That ought to tell me something is coming in the future that will turn persecution against anybody that dares to claim faith in Jesus Christ. And the world is controlled by this tattoo, is literally what it is. Karagma is the Greek word, the mark of the beast. That controlling factor controls who can buy or sell anything, so it controls the global economy of the last days. Globalism is looked upon today as the solution to all of the world's problems. Why can't we just all get along? Why can't we just all love each other, etc.? One of the problems with globalism as a philosophy is it avoids the issue of human depravity. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. that human beings, apart from the redemptive power of Christ himself, are basically selfish and self-centered and depraved individuals who will ultimately choose to do the wrong thing. When you think that everybody's just automatically going to get along by what? Self-effort? That has never worked in human history, and it never will work, and it will not work in the future. And yet many today, even in our own country, are calling for a return to a kind of globalism that will mandate total control of society. Now, what's going on today is not the Antichrist, but think of this for a moment. If you can mandate that everybody wear a mask, you can mandate that everybody take a mark. It's only a matter of time. What's happening today is telling us the lights are flashing, the stage is set for what's coming in the last days. You go from the rebirth of Israel to rumors of war in the Middle East to a raging pandemic to the rise of globalism and finally the reality of weapons of mass destruction. If somebody were to ask me, Ed, how do you know you're really moving toward the last days? Weapons of mass destruction have already been invented. You say, well, now the Bible doesn't predict nuclear weapons per se. No, it doesn't. People in ancient times would never have understood what that meant or what that was all about. But when you read the destructive emphasis in the book of Revelation, in the trumpet judgments in particular, in Revelation chapter 8, it says in verse 7, the angel sounded his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood cast upon the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all of the green grass was burned up, etc. The second angel sounds his trumpet, and a ball of fire falls into the sea, into the oceans. The seawater's polluted, the fresh waters are polluted, the air is polluted, etc. It sure sounds like nuclear war. It sounds like the world is at war and it's out of control. When you read the book of Revelation, yes, there are cosmic judgments that occur, but ultimately it talks about men fighting, armies marching, nations are at war, and the Antichrist is trying to control the world during those last days, trying to bring order out of chaos. You say, well, would the world accept a leader who could bring order out of chaos? Yes, that's what people are calling for even right now. Now, think of those five signs for a moment and ask yourself these questions. I'm a professor, so let's assume I'm going to give you the final exam. Number one, is Israel back in the land after 19 centuries? The obvious answer is yes. Number two, are there rumors of war in the Middle East? Yes, unfortunately, constantly. Number three, are there raging pandemics and pestilences today? Yes, it's already occurring. Number four, do we see the rise of globalism in our lifetime? More than ever before. Absolutely. Yes. And number five, do weapons of mass destruction already exist? And unfortunately, the answer is yes. Now, in God's grace, nobody's used one of those weapons since the end of World War II. But there are at least 10 nations that have them, and many nations that want one. We are living in a time when the world is teetering on the very edge of its own survival and its own existence for the future. Every decision that's made nationally and internationally can push us closer to the end or give us a moment of reprieve. In this time in which you and I are living, we are facing such a challenge. Every political policy, every political decision, every political leader is somebody with an agenda, a worldview that says this is the way to go or that is the way to go. And you and I have to look at those things and ask ourselves which agenda lines up with my own biblical worldview and what is my responsibility in these days. I can't uninvent weapons of mass destruction. I can't control them. I can't stop them. There are nearly 20,000 of them on the planet. I can't seem to stop even the wave of globalism right now, or whatever, or a global economy built on a cashless society. All of that seems to be coming. And yet I think God would say to us as believers, you stand up for what's right, you stand up for what's true, you stand up for the things of God, and you wait for the timing of God in all these other factors. Now, just because the end may seem to be near doesn't mean it's here, that it's going to happen by tomorrow. But the clock is ticking. Time is moving on. The rapture could technically occur at any moment, at any time. There's nothing prophetically that has to be fulfilled before the archangel could shout and the trumpet could sound and we're out of here to the glory of God. But in the meantime, we're still here. We have a responsibility to live for Christ, to endure persecution, to endure rebuke, to endure the rejection of a godless society if necessary, and to stand as a light, a beacon of hope in these very difficult times. If God is warning the world and God is speaking to you and me, what does he want you to do to make a difference for the cause of Christ in your lifetime, in this important moment in history? Ask them, Lord, what can I do to make a difference for you so that my life will shine like a beacon of hope to the world around me in these last days? People always want to know, what in the world is going to happen in the future? If we're studying Bible prophecy, what does it tell us is coming in the future? Well, I've written this book, 15 Future Events That Will Shake the World, to study those 15 things in the Bible that the Scripture clearly tells us are going to come in the future. This book is packed with biblical information, practical insights. It's going to inform your mind, but it's also going to thrill your heart and challenge your soul. Get a copy today.
The Bible follows the rise and fall of kingdoms, covers history throughout the ages, and reveals God's plan for humanity. Charting of the Bible Chronologically is a must-have book by authors Dr. Ed Heinsohn and Thomas Ice. Included in this book's 40-plus full-color charts are a timeline of biblical history, overviews of major empires, a master fold-out chart of the entire Bible, and much more. To order your copy, call us at 1-800-622-2767 or visit thekingiscoming.com today. This month on The King is Coming, Dr. Heinsohn wants to offer you an incredible resource. Exploring Bible Prophecy by Tim LaHaye and Ed Heinsohn is your all-in-one handbook on the prophecies of the Bible. With more than 500 pages of helpful information and useful charts, this book will help bring you clarity to the prophecies in Scripture. Dr. Heinsohn would like to send you Exploring Bible Prophecy as our thank you for your gift to this program. Call The King is Coming today or go online to thekingiscoming.com. World Prophetic Ministries is recognized as a church and religious organization by the Internal Revenue Service, and thus all donations to World Prophetic Ministries are recognized as charitable contributions under the IRS code.